Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around.
Let's bring in the level-headed analysis of Greg Olsen, ladies and gentlemen, a Panthers legend, the baddest man in football television analysis on Fox, and an all-around good guy. Greg, what's going on? How you doing, man?
How we doing, guy? Good.
What's happening, man? We're doing good. We're doing better than some of the fans out there that, and you know how fans are, Greg. That's short for fanatic. You know how we will often act. But I want to talk through some of these draft picks and get your opinion on what Dan Morgan did. Xavier Leggett in the first round. What did you think about them getting him at wide receiver in the first round?
Yeah, I'm glad he told us how to say his name. So that was probably the biggest news of the weekend. Now at least we all can now pronounce his name. Everyone went the last 4 months mispronouncing him. You know, it's funny. I was at that North Carolina, South Carolina game at Bank of America Stadium, You know, whatever weekend that was, back in August or whatever, that first week of the kickoff of the season there. And I had never heard of the kid. I, you know, obviously just living around here, follow the local teams. And, you know, he went off, I know, and he was just making crazy plays. And I know they struggled a little bit offensively, but he was really impressive. And then, you know, followed him the rest of the season, would catch games. You know, I got to know Shane Beamer a little bit. And I went down there and visited with them last year and spent the day and spent some time around him. So, I mean, they rave about him. They love him. They thought he just was one of those kids that took a couple years in the program to develop and kind of had his coming out party last year as a fifth year. So I know they're hoping they get, you know, that big explosive downfield kind of action. That was something that the offense was really missing last year. It just seemed like watching them last year, every possession, every drive, if they did end up scoring, you know, it took 10, 12 plays. And it's just hard to live like that. And for errors, just so small, the more you have to snap the ball. You have to score quickly. You have to generate downfield explosive plays. And I think they're hoping he brings that big body, 50-50 balls, go up and compete one-on-one and give Bryce a chance sometimes to just say, you know, whatever, just blow it up. Doesn't have to be wide open and perfect. And, you know, you want to go up and compete and come down with those. So I know they're hoping he's that role. And, you know, we'll see how it works out.
How improved do you think that wide receiver room is right now? Thielen, we saw what he did last year. We know about his route running. Deontay Johnson comes in, and the metrics say how high level of a route runner he is for Bryce Young. You throw in Leggett in there now. How improved from year over year now is the wide receiver room for Bryce?
Yeah, and you could tell that was a big priority for Dan this offseason, both free agency and now obviously over the weekend with the draft was, you know, how much pressure can you take off Bryce? How many weapons can you surround him with, both in the backfield and obviously on the perimeter? Then, you know, you add the young tight end. I'm sure we'll talk about him here in a minute. But when you can surround your young quarterback with guys who can take pressure off him, both as run after catch and also, you know, like we said about Leggett and going up and competing for 50-50 balls, just everything doesn't have to be perfect, right? Every play call doesn't have to be perfect. The separation of every route doesn't have to be perfect. Sometimes, you know, short throws turn into long runs. Sometimes contested balls turn into 30-yard completions. And every quarterback in the league needs to benefit from that, especially young quarterbacks. So I think they've done a nice job. I think Dan had a plan. I think they stuck to it both in free agency, you know, the offseason time, and now obviously in the draft. So, you know, again, I try not to get overly hyped up or negative in the offseason, even when I was playing, right? I mean, how many guys that I see over the years that came into OTAs and minicamp and they looked like Randy Moss and then they caught three balls? And how many guys that you never even heard of, the guys that weren't even on the radar, and then all of a sudden come the season and they carved out a really big role and were really big contributors? So it's time will tell how all of this works out, but I think as far as having a plan, sticking to it, and executing it, that's what I think you should judge guys on, and I think Dan in the front office has done a nice job in the last couple months doing that.
And we're very measured here, too, with draft picks and offseason acquisitions, Craig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just wait.
I've noticed that.
Okay, so I can't wait any longer. I got to ask you, I'm jumping ahead. I know we're going to get back to the Brooks running back selection, but you were, you know, the best tight end. You and Wesley Walls. Let me give Wes some credit, too. You and Wesley, clearly the best tight ends in the history of this franchise. You were one of the best in the league when you played. So let's get you to evaluate Jatavion Sanders. What do you?
I had you above Wesley Walls, Greg, on the list. I want that in.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, I'd like to take the first question from Bone.
I'm trying to not keep my man out. All right, anyway, let me get to the question. I'm digging myself a hole. Sanders, what do you see with him? What do you think of him as a tight end?
You know, it's funny. So this would have been like Friday night. Yeah, the night before he was drafted. So he was drafted on Saturday, so yeah. Friday night. Stu texted me, and he's like, "Hey, what do you think of the big tight end from Texas?" And I was like, "You know, I'll be honest. I didn't follow the draft that much. I've in the last couple of days, you know, I've seen a mock to the Panthers, and I've watched some of his clips and highlights. I was like." He's pretty impressive. He can run. He comes down with a million contested balls, and he competes at the highest point, and seems like he's got a little juice to him. And like 12 hours later, he got drafted. I texted Stu. I was like, Stu, you're in the wrong business, man. You need to be in the scouting. So credit to Stu. He called that pick the night before. But, you know, I like him. And, again, I'm watching his highlights. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm some draft nut who's like watching hours and hours of film for every player in the draft. I'm just not. But from what I've seen since the pick and just, you know, there's very few guys in the tight end. There's two types of tight ends in the NFL. There's guys that have to be schemed open, right? It's naked. It's play action pass. They just pop open and they just take whatever the system, they take whatever the play design matches up with the defense. They get whatever yards are there. And those guys are valuable, and they kind of play a role. And then there's guys that can get themselves open, both from their route running, their awareness, their change of direction, all that. And then guys who are just always open because no matter even if they are covered, they can go up and high point the ball and come down with it and have the body control and whatnot. It seems like he falls in that latter thing. And again, I'm not saying he's going to come out and have 1,000 yards as a rookie. Obviously, there's a learning curve, especially at that tight end position early on. But he seems like a guy that has the body control, the dynamic athleticism that can go up and come down with balls. And I can't stress how important that is enough. In today's NFL, if every ball you catch, you have to be wide open, you're not going to catch a lot of balls. It's just, it's hard to get open. It's hard to rely on the system to just always create the openings and create the separation. Sometimes you have to just do it yourself. And it seems like he's that kind of guy, and it seems like he's that quick twitch, you know, playmaking type guy that Bryce could really, again, benefit from. And it seems like it's a guy they targeted. And with the way the draft fell, it kind of fell their way, and they were able to go get him. So I like him. I think he's got a little juice to him. I think he's got a little playmaker to him, and we need that.
Greg, the most discussed pick today from the fan standpoint, or I should say the most questioned pick, is Jonathan Brooks, the running back of Texas, more so for where he was selected at 46. What's your thoughts on the Panthers going running back that high in the draft when they have Chuba and Miles Sanders signed there for at least one more year?
Yeah, I think what we've seen around the league is you can never have enough running backs, right? It's a position of attrition. It's a position of wear and tear. It's a position of hot hand, right? Some games, it seems like, you know, I'll use the Panthers, it seems like Chuba goes for 17 and 110. You're like, all right, he's our guy. And then the next week, he'll have 26.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's unique to Chuba. I'm just using him as an example. But I think around the league, unless you got, and again, sorry, Panther fans, but like, unless you got a McCaffrey or a Derrick Henry or one of those guys that you know is going to get 25 touches a week a game and he's probably going to have over 100 scrimmage yards and there's not going to be a lot of other carries for other backs. But unless if you don't have a guy like that, there is a kind of by committee approach at the running back position. So that's first and foremost. I don't think you can have enough of those guys. Now, if he's not coming off the ACL injury, is he there at 40 or whatever. And I think it's a safe assessment to say, a safe assumption to say that he would have been gone way earlier, right, as the first running back drafted. I think the fact that they were able to get the first running back drafted off the board in the 40s, granted, coming off an injury, so obviously that's a big asterisk, but I think you have to think long term. You have Chuba, you have Miles Sanders. Does he have to come in week one of his rookie year and be the featured back? He doesn't, right? So I think that that is all built into Dan's mindset of saying, yes, we can get a guy who has multiple years of potential, multiple years of development, that if he goes, if we see what we saw at Texas and we saw what he did in college, we have a really unique dynamic back, right? Do we have an Aaron Jones? Do we have a guy in that mold when healthy and when developed? And if the answer to that is yes, I think you'll take the value of picking him in the 40s all day long, right? So I think this is not a maybe a day one, week one pick as much of a halfway through his rookie year, bring him along slow, and then in year two, after a year under his belt, he comes out of the gate as your featured back,
yeah,
and you've got him on a rookie contract for the next couple years at the running back position. To me, it seems a little bit more like that, but there's no doubting his production. There's no doubting his, you know, his ability. I mean, he was as electric a back as there was, before his injury, and played in the shadow of Bijan down there in Atlanta for a couple years, which, guy was a top 10
pick. Who wouldn't be in his shadow?
To Greg's point about the ACL, it was the second longest running back wait for a draft, other than Bishop Sankey in 2014, who went 54th overall.
Yeah.
First taken off the board as a running back. So Greg's right that where would he be if that ACL did not happen?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point, which Greg is apt to do. Well, apt to do from time to time. All right, Greg Olson with us here on the Mac and Bone Show. So Greg, last year, talking about not being measured. Last year, I was so amped up about Bryce. I loved watching him in Alabama, and I just loved off-schedule plays, the plays he would make, quick just getting it out, the processing. I fell in love with all that stuff. So I was just disappointed that for all kinds of reasons, he wasn't able to show that in year one. But now they've got a guy in Canales who has helped Geno and helped Baker improve. And you and Bone talked about all the skill position guys, the two big offensive guards in front. Like, should we be amped up about what Bryce can do this year? Or do you think we should be kind of guarded? Do you expect Bryce to improve this year?
Yeah. I mean, I think if we're all being honest, and listen, I've always been a Bryce supporter. I like him. I love everything about him. So maybe I'm a little bit of a biased homer in some regards. But if I take that hometown hat off for a minute, he has to improve, right? He has to. There has to be marked improvement. Everything the organization has done since the end of last season, since the end of his rookie season, has been with him at the forefront, from hiring of the new coach, to offensive weapons we just talked about, to the two offensive linemen in free agency, so on and so forth down the road. Everything this offseason has been done, and rightfully so. Every organization in the league should base their decisions around what's in the best interest of the success and development of their quarterback. That's just the nature of the league that we're in, especially when you invest so heavily and what they've done to get Bryce here. So I think they're smart for doing it. So with all that being said, he has to improve, right? There has, and again, how big will that jump be? We'll see, right? I think time will tell. But there will, I would be absolutely shocked if the combination of the type of kid, the work he's put in his whole life, what he's done in college, just everything we know about him as a person and a competitor, plus the stability, hopefully, that has been created around him in the environment in which he's going to be asked now to operate and play in, with that being at least on paper improved. If it doesn't lead to marked improvement on the field, we got a problem, right? Now there's something wrong that's going to have to be, I don't think we're there. I don't think we're even close to that. I'm not suggesting that that's the case. I just think all the ingredients for improvement are there. It worries me a little bit that I hope the defense doesn't take a step back. Typically, defense is the side of the ball that even if you do return everybody, there is kind of a regression. In the words of J.J. Jansen, there's a regression to the mean Shout out to JJ. I'm sure he's listening. So, like, now, on top of that, you factor in that they've lost a lot of their marquee guys on defense, Frankie Louvu and obviously Burns. And, you know, they've added some pieces to try to backfill. So that concerns me a little bit. You know, I think the defense kind of kept things afloat the best they could for a while last year. So, but offensively, yes, I think they'll improve. And I hope and expect Bryce to have marked improvement. Now it's just a matter of to what degree.
By the way, Greg,
it'll be news when JJ's not listening to us.
at the risk of boosting JJ's rapidly growing ego with the more airtime he gets, Bone and I were texting with him during the draft. This dude's got to get into the war room. They got to get a spot. Like, the way he, like, analyzes the trade downs and the trade ups, this man knows his stuff. Olsen, we got to get him. We got to get this man in the war room.
I told JJ, if I, you know, back when he goes, hey, what would you do if you became the Panthers head coach? And I said, my first move would be to cut you as the long snapper. And he was like, geez, that was kind of rough. I was like, because you're something in my front office.
Definitely.
Staff, head of analytics. He's something. I said, so you're not going to, you're wasting my time as my long snapper. I need you, next to me helping facilitate decisions. You're going to love this, guys. Friday afternoon for about 3.5 hours, me, JJ, and Luke all went for lunch. And we just sat down for like 3.5 hours and just went through every trade. We talked about Atlanta and what are they doing. And
oh, nice. Wow.
It was JJ was in his absolute glory. Luke is obviously Luke. It was a great 3.5 hours.
I want that mic'd up. I want that table mic'd up.
I had Fritos with Mac at 10 a.m. hey, Greg, JJ did this one on Wednesday. He sent me a text because, you know, he's got his Thursday spot, and he was going to be the draft. I'm sorry, he's on Friday now. It was on Thursday. He sent me a text about his spot on Friday and said, he goes, you know, I'm going to have pages and pages and pages of notes. And I knew immediately, he's trying to get a second segment out of this.
He's into it.
He wants multiple segments, yeah.
Hey, he got it. But you're so right, man. He can, and this works out well. If he gets a front office job, it works out well, because then he doesn't take our job in the mornings here, which is a big fear. Let's get him in a front office.
He ended up on stage at the Kenny Chesney concert the other night.
Was he?
Him and Austin Corbett were on. Yeah, there's a picture of those guys on stage.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're up there. Yeah, doing something.
He's blowing up, Greg. He's blowing up, man. He may think he's a bigger star than you. Soon.
Yeah, you now go think he's got to be my first base coach on my 11-year-old baseball team. You think I'm going to be able to tell him anything? He's going to be giving fake signs. He's going to be telling the kids different things than me. I'm not going to be. It's a whole thing.
You got a problem. Last thing I want to tell you, Greg, at the risk of creeping you out, I think this shows that Charlotte is a big town in some ways, small town in other ways. Multiple texters reporting that Greg is doing at least some of this interview from a drop-off line at school. So, Greg, don't be freaked out by it. But apparently, Mac and Bone spies are out and about.
Well, I'll tell you where I was, and just to show you how much I love you guys. So, I'm in between dropping off my kid for middle school football, and as I'm dropping him off, Luke Kuechly's getting out of his car. He's covering the workout for me this morning. So, our kids are over at Charlotte Christian, and we're taking over and coaching the middle school football team this year. I'll have a rising seventh grade son in the fall, so his first year playing at school. So, Luke is with me. My dad, who's coached with me the last couple years with Luke, and Todd Blackledge are the coaching staff.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm missing morning workouts before school to talk with you guys on my way to the airport.
We are honored, man. We are definitely honored. But that's cool. That is a cool collection of guys right there.
He's got lunch with Luke and JJ. Now he's got my guy Todd Blackledge on the staff. This is unbelievable.
He's hanging out with all these
Blackledge.
Hanging out with all these cats. And for some reason, he still gives us time. For some reason. Hey, brother, appreciate your time. Keep up all the good works. In the many ways that you are doing good work, including not the least of which is the charity work around here. And thanks for coming on, man.
I appreciate you guys.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
McDonald's is not new to chicken, so maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're listening to Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wesson Walker Show.
Let's welcome Mike Kay of the Charlotte Observer on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at @Mike_E_K. And he also graded the draft on the Charlotte Observer, so make sure you go check that out. It's retweeted. It's up there. If you just scroll down his timeline, you'll be able to find it in no time. And he brought out the red pen. Mike, we appreciate the time. My question is, just how much did you scribble on the Panthers draft assignment with that red pen? How much red ink is on that paper? Because it was never a good thing for me growing up. I know that.
Well, you know, I think it was more of like, hey, trade. You know what I mean? You have to scribble out all the trade value and keep track of it. I mean, it wasn't like my Philly days when I had to watch Howie Roseman trade back like 17 times on day three, but it was pretty active for, the first 2 days of the draft, and that made grading a lot more interesting.
Well, with the grading, let's go back to just what Scott Fitterer did his first time, because he was moving back and forth. And it felt like that made Panthers fans a little nervous, Mike. So, okay, here's somebody that isn't exactly so far removed from the Fitterer regime, and now they're operating in the draft very similarly to what they did Fitterer's first draft here. Is there any reason to make that connection and be worried or excited about that? Is there any connection there, or do you think this is just how it played out for them and they decided to move up and down the draft board because Dan Morgan liked the value of some of those trades?
Well, I think if you look at the way this draft kind of unfolded, I've said it. This is the most unpredictable draft I've covered in 10 years. I think since the 2013 draft, this is probably the most unpredictable draft I've covered in 15 years of doing this and 10 years as a beat writer. And so I think you just had to kind of figure out where the board was. There was that wide receiver run towards the bottom third of the first round. I think when you looked at it from a Brent Silas perspective, having that fifth-year option was valuable, especially for the price of basically a travel thermos to move up between the difference of 32 and 33. And then I think if you look at day two, they got back a 2025 second round pick, which would have been the only reason I would have moved back more than 10 spots. So I think they did well for themselves with the trades. I think unlike Fitterer, these trades were very forward thinking and long term, as opposed to trying to be the smartest guy in the room and capitalize on other teams being willing to move down, if that makes sense.
Mike K joins us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Mike, this class, you gave most of these guys pretty good grades, ranging from high C's to B's and A's. And so do you feel like that this class has a legitimate chance to have a majority of the players make the roster? And do you think this is one of their better draft classes as compared to some of the previous ones?
So, full disclosure, I gave last year's class a B, right? But when you have more guys and late round picks, sometimes that can affect the grade. I hold myself accountable and I do the math. I don't just say, yeah, here's an A, here's a C, let's give this draft a B plus, right? Like I weighed it in a way, and I grade on process. So I'm not just grading based on, hey, I had this prospect as the top three tight end and he got drafted fourth. You know what I mean? I'm looking at process. So trades are impacted in there. Like, I probably would have given Jonathan Brooks a C if they didn't tag him along with the 2025 second round pick that we just mentioned. So I'll say that. I do think this group will be able to make the roster. I think
Crumity is maybe the only guy who probably has to compete to make the team pretty above everybody else. Like, I think you'll see, you know, both linebackers make the roster. I really like Smith Wade and his versatility. I think Sanders, Wallace, you know, Brooks and Leggett will make the team. But yeah, I mean, look, it was a seven pick class, one pick in every round. And I wouldn't be shocked if at least six of the seven make the roster and actually contribute this year.
You like Sanders pretty much the most out of all of them, giving him an A grade. What is the thing you like most about Jatavion Sanders, and what worries you? Because you called this pick with the potential of having home run type of impact.
Well, he's a guy kind of without a position. Like, tight end's a nice way of putting it. He's going to be probably the F tight end, where he moves to wide receiver and the slot and is in the backfield. He's extremely raw. But I think for the fourth round, you look at his ability to create down the seam. He's got really great athleticism. He's got decent hands. It just kind of feels like he's a guy that when you look at this group, he's got so much upside that there really isn't a lot of gamble here. And if he can be your number two tight end, or he can be your big slot receiver for the future, you feel pretty good. Because here's the thing that I think a lot of people miss out on. A lot of people want that classic inline tight end. Well, they kind of have that guy in Tommy Tremble. What you're looking at here is a guy who you can move around. You can use him as a fullback. You can use him as a big slot. He can potentially be the heir apparent to Adam Thielen in the slot and just be a completely different player. You can use him in specific packages. You can put him at the line and have him run X routes and flag routes at, you know, the goal line. He is a guy that you can kind of move around, and I kind of like the idea of bringing in a lot of bigger targets for Bryce Young.
Who was the one that got away for you in this draft, a player that you felt like the Panthers had a chance to take that they may end up regretting?
Edgerrin Cooper. It's not even close. He is a guy that is going to be very, very special. Really great in coverage, excellent blitzer. He would have been the perfect Frankie Louvu replacement. He got drafted, I believe, 45 by the Packers, so right before the Panthers traded up again to get Brooks. They got Trevin Wallace, who kind of profiles similarly as an athletic upside guy. He's not as, like, polished and probably not as consistent as Cooper was. Cooper obviously had a breakout season with, like, 8 sacks and just stats everywhere. I mean, he was just a major disruptor. I think they did a nice job in getting the next best, probably disrupting read and react style inside linebacker. Who has a lot of upside, but I think Cooper could have been a massive difference maker here.
Mike Kay of the Charlotte Observer joining us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Follow him on Twitter at @Mike_E_K. Mike, maybe this is asking something very similar to what Wes just did, but what's something you wanted the Panthers to accomplish the most heading into the draft that was unfulfilled by the time Sunday evening rolled around?
I mean, I would have liked to have seen them get a more prominent prospect at cornerback. I think that if they came into the draft with cornerback is clearly their biggest need. I think adding Deontay Johnson upgraded wide receiver enough that you felt good about it, where you had two guys who were dependable. At cornerback, you have J.C. Horn, who's played 22 of 51 games, Dane Jackson, Troy Hill, who's going to turn 33. Dane Jackson is a, you know, solid replacement level starting cornerback, but if J.C. Horn goes down, that solid replacement level starting cornerback is your number one cornerback. And yes, they flirted with Stephon Gilmore, who's going to be 34 this season, but like, when you have a guy who's as injury prone as Horn, a guy who's as, two guys who are as old as Gilmore if they bring him in, and Hill, it's like, you need some like youthful energy and upside there, and I felt like they kind of jumped at the chance to add a running back when they probably could have gotten a much better corner prospect. That said, I think Smith Wade is going to be very good.
Yeah, Mike, you mean you said they flirted with Stephon Gilmore. Do you think they close the deal and end up signing him before the season starts?
I mean, I feel like there's too much smoke and they've addressed it too much publicly for it not to be a thing. I just, you know, the concern I have is with cornerbacks, typically you drop off around 32. And obviously Gilmore's passed that expiration date. That said, he still played well last season, so we'll see where that goes.
All right, Mike, before we get you out of here, just what do you think about some of the later picks? I know you like Smith-Wade. I don't know what you think about the defensive tackle out of Mississippi State. Maybe you wanted to take this time to talk about a thicker kicker that is now with the Panthers, at least as of right now. What is some of your analysis on the later picks that Carolina had that could provide an impact this year?
Well, I think Michael Barrett's an interesting guy because I think he comes from a winning program. He was a notable player on special teams. I think this team is going to be very forward-thinking with how they plan out their succession plans. Obviously, I've linked Trevin Wallace to being Shaq Thompson's long-term heir. I think when you look at Smith-Wade, he's got a lot of versatility. I've talked to scouts around the league who think he can play safety, nickel, and on the boundary. I think he could be a long-term successor for Troy Hill, who we've talked about. Their sixth-round pick, Cromedy, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, he profiles as kind of like a Nick Thurman sort of type where he'll be just like a lower-end backup. But, you know, you use the sixth and seventh rounds to get ahead of undrafted free agency. They took two 24-year-olds in those last two picks, and part of that is because not a lot of underclassmen came out. There were only 49 underclassmen selected, so you're going to bring in these older guys. I mean, Barrett's going to be 25 by the end of the season. So I'm not typically in favor of those older guys. If you know anything about my grades from last year, I was not fond of the DJ Johnson pick. I don't think there was a DJ Johnson pick this year. I think these guys can be relatively capable contributors early on in their career.
Go check out his grades on the Charlotte Observer. Mike Kay of the Charlotte Observer joining us here on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Follow him on Twitter again at Mike_E_K. Mike, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked because Instant Replay continues next. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
Did you happen to hear how Goodell pronounced your name?
Oh, yeah, man. He said it right. He said it right. Oh, yeah, that's how I tell everybody just to hold it. Make sure you say it with two E's. Never let him hang
out. He said it right. League it with two E's. At least that's what we think anyway. Welcome back. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. It is the best damn sports talk in the Carolinas. We appreciate you hanging out with us. We got a busy show. We talked to James Plowright live from the UK about J.J. Redick, Charles Lee, and the Hornets coming up in 35 minutes. Chip Brown, Horns 247, back at 5 o'clock. We'll talk about Jonathan Brooks, Jatavion Sanders. Those two part of a larger Carolina Panthers draft haul that was covered in depth over the weekend once again by the great and powerful Joe Person, who asked that question. Joe Person of The Athletic is back with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Is it Leggett or Leggett? Which one is it, Joe?
It's Leggett.
What are we doing here?
It's Leggett.
Leggett. Okay, there you go. So it's not Leggett, it's Leggett.
No, he was giving Goodell credit for pronouncing it right when Roger got the first syllable right, but then screwed up the second one. So we were all learning. I mean, I've been calling him Leggett for, you know, the entire draft cycle and maybe before that.
Everybody has. I mean, the voice of the Gamecocks, Todd Ellis, called him Leggett. I mean, just about everybody. But it's Leggett for anybody who's been asking. But, all right, there you go. That's it, Leggett. Joe, it's good to have you back, man. You did a great job over the weekend. Let's start with that. They traded up from 33 to 32 on Thursday night. They ended up in the first round after all, after we did months of second-round radio here on WFNZ. But your thoughts on jumping into 32 and making sure they got their guy?
Now, it was a little weird because I don't think Brandon Bean and Dan Morgan know each other, you know, as well as any two guys in this league. Like, you know the history. We don't need to go through it. So I think Morgan probably knew that, you know, had a pretty good feeling that Brandon Bean, you know, that his wide receiver was someone other than Xavier Leggett. And so... I don't know. I guess I felt like they could have stayed at 33. The danger, of course, is that, like, Brandon Bean likes Dan Morgan. He doesn't like him enough that if some other team called with an incredible offer, then Brandon Bean was going to pull the – for Leggett specifically, then you miss out on it. So I get it. They didn't give up that much. They get the fifth-year option, although most of the time, even though it doesn't, they don't always – play on the fifth year option. It does help with leverage situations if you're going to extend a guy like that in after year three. So yeah, I mean, it was a little weird and you couldn't help but think it was a couple of buddies doing each other a solid, but at the end of the day, the Panthers got the guy they wanted.
They did. And I can live with it. I can. And by the time they got to Friday night, cause I like the player a lot. And then by the time they got to Friday night, I love the trade to go back to 52 and recoup the second rounder because one of my first thoughts was, oh, you can still move back up. And they absolutely did that. Now, that series of events, though, Joe, trading back, recouping your second rounder, but then moving back up and taking a running back at 46, I'll say it this way. There are split opinions about that decision on my text line today. How did you feel about it?
Well, I was just reading, and all credit to ESPN's Seth Walter for digging this up, but apparently the Rams' price to move up in the second round, where, you know, giving up that 2025 second, as you mentioned, Kyle, that was the steepest price anyone has paid to move up in the second round in at least 6 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a really pretty brilliant move by Dan Morgan. And it was terrific irony that he, you know, got the deal done with the team that they wouldn't do the Brian Burns trade with, you know, a year and a half ago. That they still got something, so to speak, from the Rams for Brian Burns indirectly. So, yeah, I love that piece of it. Now, trading up for Brooks, you know, I don't know. I put it in one of those columns that, like, if you looked at their top 30 visits, I mean, they had Trey Gibson in from Florida State. They had Jonathan Brooks in. Those were trying, you know, Dave Canales through and Dan Morgan through the top 30 visits were trying to tell us all something. That Dave Canales is serious when he says he wants to be stubbornly try to establish the run game like he did in Tampa Bay. And I think it tells us that he wasn't loving that the running back room as it, you know, existed before this past weekend. So I don't know. I like the fact that there was a plan. Like you said, man, we can debate whether trading up for a guy coming off an ACL and at a devalued position was worth it. But I do like the series of events that led up to it.
Yes, I could be. There are situations that would make me angrier, I'll put it that way, than what they did there. Joe Person of The Athletic, he's with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Trevin Wallace in the third round. I like what the kid's about. I've seen some tape that I really like, but he's a third rounder out of Kentucky, so I'm not quite sure what to make of this one. But I guess I got to trust the linebacker to evaluate the linebacker, yeah?
Yeah, I guess so. Like you, I didn't know a lot about him. A lot of my linebacker kind of focus before the draft was on Edger and Cooper out of Texas A&M, who went right one pick after the Panthers traded. I don't know. Clearly, they like Trevin Wallace better than Cooper because they could have had either one of them. And he's definitely traitsy. You know, his production at Kentucky was okay. I mean, he did have 5.5 sacks last season in the SEC. That's a pretty good number for an inside linebacker. Like, we're not talking about, you know, an edge rusher. And you start, you know, as you hear him talk and you see stats like that in some of the tape, you start thinking that maybe this is more of like a Frankie Luvu comp than a Shaq Thompson. A lot of us were writing and referencing Shaq because it feels like Wallace could eventually one day succeed Shaq. But in terms of his style and kind of the way he runs around and is a factor in the blitz package, I was reminded of Frankie Luvu, and that's a pretty good comp for this organization.
Joe, I was, I heard you back on with Mac and Bone last week, and they brought up something to you that I was in favor of. There were some centers in this draft class that I really liked, and for a team that couldn't protect a lick last year, I would have liked to have seen them take one, but I understand there are multiple holes, and you can't fix everything on this team in one offseason in all likelihood, but now, this plan they have of starting Austin Corbett, moving him to center, and then, I think as you mentioned, giving Brady Christensen some snaps at center. How confident are they that this is going to work?
I don't hate that. I'll be honest, and I wrote this before the draft. Of all the needs the Panthers had, and I think I said this to your colleague, that backup center was pretty far down the list for me. It just was. I mean, they spent a lot of money on those guards, and it's not like you're asking Austin Corbett to go play left tackle. I mean, it's there's some different skill sets involved and all that and snapping, but he's done it before, A. And B, he's, you know, before these moves that they made with Hunt and Damian Lewis, he was your best offensive lineman, arguably. And so, yes, there's the injury concern. I don't know. I just think that with the combination of Corbett and Christensen, these were two guys who were starters. I don't need to remind you. You know, the fact that one of them now is going to be the insurance policy at center, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Do they have enough at corner based on what we see on the roster today? Because Stephon Gilmore is still out there. They took a corner in the draft, but I don't think anybody's expecting day one starter out of him. Do they have enough?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I think that's still a sizable hole. And, Charles Smith-Wade, I think he's a nickel guy, at least initially. I mean, I know they say he's got inside-outside flexibility, and that's fine. But I think he starts out at nickel, which gives you a great opportunity. If maybe Dan Morgan and Dave Canales are dead set that Dane Jackson is a starter. He wasn't a full-time starter at Buffalo. That's fine. Some guys, change the scenery, and another staff believes them a little more, and they can become starters. But if it's my team and I'm the GM, I'm signing Steph Gilmore or somebody like it.
All right. Everybody gives out grades the 48 hours after the draft. I will not ask you to do that. But what I would like from you is an evaluation of Dan Morgan's first offseason with the keys and fully in charge. What grade do we give Dan Morgan's first offseason?
How about like a solid B? I mean, this is a guy he had to clean up the Brian Burns mess. And I know people like he didn't get enough, and he didn't get compared to where they were. But, they got what they could, and he kind of made the best of it. And that trade, as we've already talked about over the weekend, going back and getting that 2025 that they had given up as part. Anything they can recoup from that Bryce Young deal to me is a win, because that was a lot of draft capital they spent, moving up with Chicago. The other thing with Dan Morgan, I had someone from another team say that deal he did, even the one you referenced, waiting and waiting and waiting, like a lot of first-time GMs on the first night might have been inclined to just jump in at like 27 or 28, and you give up a little more. And he still gave up something. But if him showing the patience, and again, I do think it helped that his buddy was on line one from Buffalo. But I think he's had a pretty good offseason all in all.
Love it. Joe Person, The Athletic, with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Check out his work at The Athletic. Follow him on X at Joseph Person. Thank you, brother. Get some rest. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, have a great week.
You tuned into Instant Replay when the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.